These days, most Canadians source their sweaters, socks, hats, mitts, blankets, and all the other things we use yarn and cloth for from abroad. The textile industry was once a major industry in Waterloo Region and across Canada, and now it's been mostly globalized away. But there is a small contingent of people in Ontario who make their living in a local, natural textile industry, including raising sheep or other fiber-bearing animals, turning their fleece into wool, and selling products made from that wool. Romy Schill farms her sheep near Wallenstein, about half an hour's drive from Waterloo. She and her husband run Circle R Farms along with her business selling wool products, Revolution Wool.
So we've been doing this for about 16 years now. We took over this farm from my husband's grandparents. They used to have beef, pigs, and chickens here, and sheep was a little bit of an experiment while Ryan was in high school. And we kind of fell in love with them. We really enjoyed working with them. We saw a lot of potential for selling lamb to our local consumers through local butchers. There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get things working efficiently. But we slowly grew the flock from 25 sheep up to, we now have about 800 ewes.
But Schill, like all Canadian sheep farmers, ran into a problem. Sheep must be sheared about once a year for their health. But there is practically no market for Canadian wool.
Nobody's using Canadian wool. Our wool for many years has not been utilized. It gets shipped overseas or thrown out. A lot of it links back to when textile production moved overseas. A lot of, you know, just making clothes and that kind of thing moved out of this country. You know, factories were sold, equipment was lost. We lost a lot of those skills too. And before that, there was a little wool mill in every community. Everyone had some sheep and they would bring their wool to that local mill and it would get milled into products that we used. And then along kind of came, you know, after the, probably, it's probably like a World War II thing, is our manufacturing left. We lost those skills, but it also transitioned into consumers using a lot of synthetic textiles. So, you know, clothes made out of polyester, microfibers, and all of that stuff. And so even, you know, we lost the skills, but I think we also just lost this knowledge of how beneficial natural fibers are.
The biggest buyer of Canadian wool is the Canadian Cooperative of Wool Growers, which collects, markets, and sells the nation's wool on the global market. Cited numbers of how much the co-op pays for wool varies between 10 and 70 cents per pound, which comes to about 60 cents to $4 per sheep. And that's only for the farmers who can afford the cost of transporting their fleece to one of the co-op's collection depots. In the end, it's often just not worth keeping the fleece, and many farmers throw it away. But some Ontario sheep farmers and entrepreneurs are stepping up to forge new businesses and new markets for Canadian wool and textile consumers. It's an uphill battle against an established system of buying cheap and synthetic products from overseas. Schill, who started Revolution Wool to sell high-quality woolen bedding and other products made from her sheep's wool, is one of them.
I knew that wool from our sheep, wool makes yarn, yarn makes sweaters. Why can't we do that with our wool? I learned, became aware of knitting shows, yarn festivals, and that kind of thing. I went to a couple of those. And then I guess I kind of dove off the deep end and decided because we have so many sheep and so much wool available that we could do all kinds of things. So with how much wool we have available, I was able to actually connect and work with a couple of the really large mills in Canada. No one was doing it. So a lot of cold calls, calling the mills, figuring out what they could do, sort of building those relationships with them, almost educating them a little bit in that I had wool to mill. I still remember the first batch of wool we did for our batting, for our pillows. They'd never used Canadian wool in the mill before, so they weren't really able to tell me exactly what would come out at the end, but I was also willing to take that chance.
Lindsay Weber is a volunteer with the Ontario Fiber Shed, an organization that aims to connect all people operating in the local fiber space in Ontario, and a sheep farmer herself. She launched a business transforming waste or low-quality wool into natural landscaping felt products.
It's called Wool Grown. So a lot of the landscaping fabric that you see out there is going to be your black polypropylene, polyplastic blend of material. So we're trying to come up with something that would hopefully, with our tests and everything, see how that goes, eliminate some of that, reduce some of that waste with something that would be natural, with something that would be completely already naturally biodegradable.
Weber and Shell aren't the only ones, or even the first ones, to forge new local fiber-based businesses. Donna Hancock is marking nearly 20 years operating Wellington Fibers, her wool mill located between Elmira and Elora.
And so I had purchased 6 Angora goats in 1988, and then I needed to find a place for them. So then I purchased this farm in 1989, and then initially I was sending the mohair out to get processed and then dyeing it and selling it. I think what happened was, say, from 1988 through to 2006, I was producing a fair bit of mohair, and because they get shorn twice a year, I was having, by the time, and I had to send it to either PEI or else into Alberta to Custom Woolen Mills. And so both of those places, it was taking a long turnaround time. So, you know, lots of times I would be getting the fiber, the yarn back by the time I was starting to shear again. So it was, and I was having, you know, you'd book to go to a show, but be waiting for your yarn to come back. So, and then it was in 2006 that we decided to open up our own mill. And so at that point, we basically started processing our own fiber and also processing other farmers' fiber as well.
Weber says volunteers with the Ontario Fibershed organization like herself are hoping to get consumers to think more about where their textiles are coming from and the impact they're making.
So farm to table, that's a big farm initiative that everybody I think knows about, buying local produce, buying local food. But we don't really get into that as much when we're talking about goods that we use on a regular basis, our clothing. So when it comes to clothing, if you ever read your labels on your textiles, you'll see, okay, maybe it's a blend of polyester cotton or wool polyester socks, something like that. It's really looking at the materials and how far they came and where they were processed, what kind of ways they were processed. Maybe they were more intensive in their energy production, say, or something like that. Maybe they had a lot of waste byproducts, especially when we're looking at poly blends. So that's going to be anything that's a derivative of the oil and gas industry. And how much fast fashion has really come on the scene and taken a toll on the landscape.
Hancock agrees.
So I think if we can look at, you know, producing yarn or fiber that can be last for a longer period of time, we maybe don't need to buy as much. And at the end of the day, it's going to break down in the soil and not know that it was here.
Shill says preserving the ability to produce textiles locally is important.
It's helping make our communities better, not just sort of our community as a whole, but if I pare it down, you know, it's helping our farming community. It's helping us use a product that we're already growing. It's helping the milling industry that we have left. It's helping make sure that they have the work and that we're using the skills and knowledge that they have, because we don't want to lose that, because once it's gone, it's going to be very hard to get it back.
Hancock, Shell, and Weber all see signs that more people are starting to think about local and natural textiles.
Probably the fact that we all have almost a year's worth of work waiting all the time for us. That would be my biggest indicator. Like, I mean, part of that has been due to a few mills that have shut down, or, you know, they've sold the equipment and whoever's bought it hasn't got up and running. But there's just more people looking at it as, you know, I think they can have a small number of animals and be able to sell either the yarn or knitted products. You know, people are working on computers all day, and at the end of the day, they really don't have anything to show for it. Like, it's happened,
you've done work, but you can't physically see that. So I think there's a lot more, and I would say younger people, that have got into knitting and a lot more handwork because they can do something and they have something to show.
I think it's just this shift from people realizing they don't have to use synthetics and that natural materials are better. It's not as much of a struggle for me to tell people or to educate them about how wool blankets are really great to sleep with, that wool is hypoallergenic and temperature regulating, all this stuff. Like, they already know in the last couple of years a little bit more about this stuff.
Yeah, it's just, you know what? It's looking at what you can do. If you can reimagine the textiles that you currently have and put new life into them. So say you have a hole in your shirt or your sweatshirt, it's no good anymore. Well, maybe it still has life as in rags to wash your car with, to do things like that. It's about reducing and reusing and recycling. It's not necessarily about, okay, you have to change your entire wardrobe because that's not reasonable. That's not possible, right? It's about looking at where you want to spend your money.
For Radio Waterloo, CKMS 102.7, and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Leah Gerber.